Good morning. Welcome to another edition of the program Signs of the Times, Reflections on the Times in which we stand. And don't forget our discussions on this program are drawn from the work in the light of truth, the great message by Abd Rashin. Today on the program, we're looking at the purpose of man on earth. The purpose of man on earth. The first part will be delivered today. I have my guests in the studio. Our main speaker for today is Mr. Kolapo Lawson. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
All right. Thank you for joining us on the program this morning. And I have right here Mr. Tunji Fadairu. Good morning.
Good morning for me. Good morning, listener.
All right, and to you, our dear listener, you can also be part of the program by sending us questions or your comments, or if you need clarification on certain things you've heard on the program, you can send your questions to this numbers, 0803-320-1244. 0803-320-1244. Or 0822-312-8538 or 802-312-8538. Those are the numbers you can send in your questions or comments either via WhatsApp or by SMS. All right, so looking at the purpose of man on earth, Mr. Kolapo Lawson, I'd like you to take your opening remarks.
Thank you very much for me. It's with a great sense of humility that I continue this series on the signs of the times by inviting our listeners to contemplate the important topic of the purpose of man on earth. Of course, in using the term man, we are not referring to the male gender, but we're using the word as a generic description for the human being, or more accurately, the human spirit, which we all know exists in male and female forms, each with its own specific attributes and role. In the first part of the talk today, we shall consider the human spirit in general and its journey in creation, and in the subsequent presentation next week, as well as answering questions, we shall look more closely at the specific attributes and roles of the male and female entities. In considering the topic of the talk, we shall break the subject down into the following themes. The first part, because many people may be listening to this series for the first time, we'll say a few words about the Grail message and the necessary extension of knowledge. Then we'll consider the current views that prevail today, the current views of man's purpose. Then we will look at man and his position in creation. And finally, today we will look at the recognition by the individual human being of the task assigned to man by the light. All the speakers in this series, which started on April 15th, 2020, have made it clear that the explanations they give have been drawn from the work In the Light of Truth by Abd Rashin. The same is true of my own presentation. The clarity and consistency of the presentations must give the serious listener the assurance that he too, she too, can dig into the Grail message and acquire for himself or herself the same comprehensive knowledge which banishes all doubt and leads from faith to conviction. Speakers have spoken about the perfection of the will of the Almighty Creator, which manifests as adamantine, irrevocable laws which govern all events. They have explained how these laws bear the love and justice of the Creator, maintain balance, further development, and ensure that man is the architect of his own fate. The speakers have explained how every thought, word and deed generated by an individual takes on form, develops by attracting similar forms or by being attracted by similar forms, and finally returns to the originator, thereby forming the carpet of fate that he or she must tread. Hence the injunction to keep the hearth of your thoughts pure. The speakers have also explained the significance of the times in which we stand, that we are in the final judgment, when God demands that man render account for his stewardship, that each one should declare to whom the altar within him is dedicated. Is it to the light or to the darkness? And finally, last week, the imperative of the command, free yourself from all darkness, was emphasized as an absolute necessity for the individual who wishes to pass in the final judgment. All the speakers also emphasized that the Grail message does not bring a new religion, and it would be safe to say that any listener who has followed just one presentation, and certainly listeners who have followed several presentations, will by now have been disabused of many of the misconceptions that have been woven around the work In the Light of Truth, the Grail Message. Most societies in Nigeria are extremely religious. There's a church or a mosque practically on every street, in every town, even in every village. Thus, whenever anyone talks about creation or the Creator, many people immediately jump to the conclusion that it concerns religion. It is therefore not surprising that many people believe that the Grail message is a religion or that the Grail movement is a church or sect. The Grail message, however, does not bring a new religion, but stands on its own as a unique message to mankind, whatever religion they may or may not profess, and demands that the faith that people have in their religions is transformed into convinced knowledge about the creation in which man finds himself, about the perfection of the Creator who brought all things into existence, and about man's assigned task and thus purpose in accordance with the perfect, eternal, and irrevocable will of the Creator. It is far more than religion or faith, but it shows how the individual human being can no longer go about business as usual, living his life based on some vague, indeterminate, or blind faith, accepting the opinions and teachings of others, be they parents, pastors, or imams, without subjecting those teachings to the strictest examination, and without exerting himself to find out who he is, where he comes from, and what his purpose is. The Grail message states that these matters should no longer be matters of guesswork or indolent speculation, but the search for truth must drive the individual to the greatest external and internal exertion, whereby physical and spiritual indolence are completely dispensed with. Continuing ignorance in these matters will bring the individual, the nation, and ultimately the whole of mankind to a disastrous end. In For Your Guidance, which is the foreword to the book, Abdushin states, and I quote, "I am addressing earnest seekers only. They must be able and willing to examine this objective matter objectively. The Grail movement, for its part, is not another church or sect. It is an organization consisting of individuals who have taken the trouble to examine the Grail message, have resolved as responsible individuals to fashion their lives, to follow the path shown by the recognitions they have gained, and also desire to make their fellow human beings aware of the existence on earth today of this wonderful work. Purpose is very closely tied to destiny and meaning. What is the purpose of man? Is there a meaning to his life on earth? Does he have to search for this meaning? Opinions on this topic vary widely, ranging from those who believe that life on earth arose by accident and therefore meaning is whatever each individual wishes to make of his life, to those at the other extreme who believe that everything in their life has been predetermined and that there's nothing they can do to change their destiny. In the middle are the bulk of those who believe that they can bring about the outcomes they desire by becoming prayer warriors. That is, that there is a God who serves them by granting their wishes. All they have to do is to pray to him. This view is prevalent in most parts of our country, hence the multifarious churches and mosques. However, on closer examination, both those who believe that their lives are predetermined and those who believe in the miracle of prayers are not much different from those who state that life is an accident and that the rule of the jungle should prevail, that is, the survival of the fittest. This is demonstrated by the behavior of the majority. In spite of prayers, people still cheat to get what they want. They still tear down others to reach their own goals. They still try to get away with as little work as possible and yet expect great rewards. They still blame others for their failures instead of recognizing that such failures are due to their own omissions. Where they find themselves on top, they still look down on their fellow men and strive to keep them down, and so on and so forth. What is clearly demonstrated is that there is no knowledge of or recognition of the laws that actually determine world events, and therewith the fate of every individual. They fail to see that creation is an automatic, self-regulating system, maintained and controlled by one power, one will. The more one thinks deeply about the current human condition, whether it be in the family, in communities, or in the country, the more difficult it is to see how things can improve. This is true not only for our country, Nigeria, but also for every country on the planet. The world is becoming steadily more ungovernable, and the idea of supreme happiness for each and every human being has become a mirage, an ever-receding fantasy. Yet every man senses deep within himself that there is a purpose to life in general and to his own life in particular. But the current state of world affairs leads to only one conclusion. The true knowledge of man's purpose, man's destiny, has been completely lost. If that knowledge were to be regained, true happiness and fulfillment will blossom forth everywhere. Suffering and misery will be banished forever. But how will this come about? I have heard it said that eventually God will intervene and put things right. However, what people mean by this is that they do not have to do anything, just wait for the Almighty Creator to do their job for them. In other words, their wish is to turn the master into the servant.
All right, thank you so much for your opening remarks, Mr. Kolakwo-Losin. At this point in time, let's take some announcements. Mr. Fadairu, let me come to you on that one.
Thank you, Fumi. For all inquiries, questions, and to obtain copies of the book, In the Light of Truth, The Grail Message, simply reach out to us on www.grailland.com. I repeat, www.grailland.com. Grailland is spelt G-R-A-I-L-L-A-N-D. Or you may reach us by telephone. If you're within Nigeria, reach us on 080-332-01244. I repeat, 080-332-01244 or 080-231-28538. 080-231-28538. And if you are outside Nigeria, simply add the prefix +234. And omit the zero before. So that would be +234-8033-201244 and +234-8023-128538.
Thank you so much, Mr. Fadairu. The numbers he announced, you can also send in your questions. You know, if you have questions as regards to our discussion this morning, if we cannot take those questions this morning, we'll definitely take those questions next week on the program. All right, Mr. Lawson, let me come back to you.
Thank you. I'll continue by saying some words now about the journey of the human spirit from its inception through creation to where we are today. As already stated, the present state of confusion exists because, in general, man does not know who he is, where he comes from, what his purpose is, and what his creator expects of him. This is where the Grail message brings the necessary help. It gives the clearest, most logical, and perfect answers to these questions, and thereby helps the serious seeker to recognize the paths that lead to his true destiny, and thus to supreme happiness for himself, and ultimately for all humanity. The message enables man to recognize his place and role in creation. Let us contemplate our immediate surroundings. We live in a country which is part of one of the seven continents on the planet Earth. The Earth seems very big to us. We all live our lives on it. All the events in history, all the great men and women who have ever lived, also lived their lives on it. But when during the day we look up at the sun, or at night we see the stars in the skies, we begin to develop the idea that this Earth, which seems so big to us, is not even a speck of dust in the visible universe. All the uncountable stars we see are suns, many of which have planets like the Earth revolving around them. Yet, as vast as all this is, we as human beings have the ability to transcend it all, because we have an element within us which is more mobile, more alive, more sensitive than all these immeasurably numerous and gigantic material objects. Something which is of a completely different nature to the material substance of the Earth, the planets, and the stars. We have never had a clear view of this intangible element. Yes, we do speak of soul and spirit, but there is no clear picture of what these are. We live in the midst of nature. Even our bodies are governed by nature. And one thing we can say about nature is that it is held together by consistent and uniform laws. If you throw a ball up in the air, it will come down, no matter how many prayers you send. The rate at which it comes down can be precisely calculated. If you plant a field of corn, no amount of prayers will turn the harvest into a yam harvest. We take these things for granted, but fail to recognize that a similar immutability operates uniformly in all things. The uniformity points to a single source or origin of all things, an origin from which laws which operate perfectly emanate. The laws thus attest to the perfection of their origin, of their creator, whom we have learned to call God. Abdushin states in the Grail message, and I quote, "Give God the honor of perfection. Then you will find the key to the unsolved riddles of all life." Perfection, however, means immutability. That is, an expression of will today manifests in the same way it did thousands of years ago, and in the same way as it will manifest thousands of years from now. If something can change, it means it is not perfect. Either it was not perfect before the change, or it is no longer perfect after the change. Perfection rules out arbitrary acts. This has profound implications. Many long-held beliefs, which millions blindly accept as truth, are suddenly found to be inconsistent with a conviction in the perfection of the Almighty. For example, is the belief that the Almighty sent his only Son to be killed by human beings in order to have their sins taken away consistent with an acceptance of the commandment, "Thou shalt not kill," or with the law that says that whatever a man sows, that also shall he reap? Deeper thinking also will make one recognize that if creation emanated from a perfect origin, then that part of creation which is closest to the origin must resemble more nearly the perfection of the origin, and those parts further away would resemble the origin less. Thus, in broad terms, the Grail message explains that there are two divisions in creation. The original creation, which came about directly as the perfect work of the Creator and known as the spiritual, and then a part which developed as a consequent or subsequent creation and known as the material world. The earth and everything that can be perceived by earthly means, thus the stars, the galaxies, the mighty visible universe, form part of the material world. That intangible element in man that makes it possible for him to perceive beyond the earthly comes from the spiritual part of creation. Thus, the real man is spirit. We recognize the spirit with our intuition, an inner faculty or inner voice, which is capable of maintaining connection with and receiving guidance from the spiritual part of creation based on the law of attraction of homogeneous species. On earth, the spirit wears a cloak of material substance which he has to return to the earth after a certain period called an earth life. We have all experienced several earth lives. As a tool to help him navigate his way through the material substance of the earth, he has been given the intellect which emanates from his frontal brain, an integral part of his material physical body. Now the question arises, if man comes from the spiritual part of creation which we have acknowledged to be perfect, why are his works on earth not perfect? There are many reasons for this. First, the earth man does not start its existence as a fully developed spirit. He starts as an unconscious spirit seed grain or spirit germ, which belongs to the very last ramifications of the spiritual, that part which is too weak to be conscious in the spiritual part of creation. However, the spirit seed grain or spirit germ carries the potential for consciousness, and eventually this potential develops into an urge or yearning to develop. The Almighty Creator, in his infinite love, does not allow any pure yearning or potential to go unfulfilled, and he therefore created the space for the spirit germ to develop its full potential and to eventually become fully conscious and become a mature human spirit. This development cannot take place in an upward direction in the spiritual plane, but only in more distant, cooler regions, in a subsequent creation, allowed to come into existence for that purpose. This consists of the worlds of matter, of which the earth belongs to the densest part. The spirit germ, longing for consciousness, therefore embarks on a journey out into the more distant material part in order to develop slowly and gradually and gain spiritual consciousness. Spiritual self-consciousness is a necessary condition for the full recognition of the perfection of the Creator. However, even in his developing state, the human spirit on earth has, as already stated, the ability to maintain contact with the highest parts of the spiritual world and thereby be guided from there towards the formation of perfect works. This he does by keeping his intuition alive and pure. This presupposes that he maintains this connection through purity of thought and deed. Unfortunately, for thousands of years, man has voluntarily cut off this connection through the overdevelopment of his intellect, a material tool given to him as a help, but which, through the temptations of Lucifer, he has turned into his master. And so he has become tied to matter, a slave to his material tool, which is unable to understand, let alone carry out acts of beauty, love, and happiness, which only a connection with the spiritual world will permit. This connection with the spiritual world demands from the individual simple humility, that is, suppression of the intellectual arrogance of the ego, relentless self-discipline, and the most vigorous inner and outer activity. It does not permit the indolence which is today prevalent in every sphere of activity, especially, I'm afraid to say, in our African societies. We are even lazy and indolent in the simplest of things. Just look at our environment. The diligence to produce beautiful results, even in the smallest activities, is missing. The discipline to look ahead and work together to plan for future eventualities is non-existent. On a very obvious and basic level, see how many people even prefer to be totally soaked in the rain rather than take the trouble to prepare by holding an umbrella when it is obvious that the rain will soon come down. But they go out unprepared and pray that it will not rain. The inevitable conclusion is that the current chaotic state of the human condition on earth is due solely to man having cut himself off from guidance from the spiritual world through his total dependence on matter. Thus, he can no longer recognize the Creator and his will.
All right, still signs of the times, reflections on the times and creatures, and focus of this curse this morning has been the purpose of man on earth. We're going to take this break. We'll be right back. Signs of the times, reflections on the times in Great West End. All right, we have some questions here, Mr. Lawson. I'd like you to just take on a few because of our time. This question says, keep the thought of your mind pure or keep the thought of your heart pure? Which is correct?
Okay, the correct quotation is, keep the half of your thoughts pure. What is a hearth? A hearth is, in cold regions, the center of the home where they light the fire and the family gathers around that fire for warmth, for communal exchange, and it is the center of the home from which everything goes out. I mean, obviously, here we don't have fires, but we do have in our home somewhere which is the center, and it usually revolves around the homemaker, the woman of the home. So the picture is that you should keep pure that center from which your thoughts originate. It does not mean that you should struggle with every thought to try and keep it pure, because that would be artificial and it would be intellectual, directed from the brain. But each one of us has what I've described as the intuition, which is the inner voice, or some say the conscience. You have something in you which is really the core of your being, which is the hearth, not your heart, hearth of your ability to sense. So that needs to be kept pure. And by pure, it simply means it needs to be directed upwards towards the will of the Creator, keeping in mind at all times, what is the will of the Creator? What is the will of God in everything? And when you do that, then the thoughts that emanate from you will be affected by that purity. And gradually, those thoughts themselves will become pure. It doesn't happen overnight. As the speaker last week said, this is a lifelong effort. But the key thing is to be conscious of the need to keep that central core from which your thoughts emanate, to keep it pure, to keep it directed towards the will of the Creator.
Okay. This question says, good day. On Earthbound, how can man who has failed in passing good values to his descendants think about his own ascent?
Earthbound. Earthbound is a concept which is again clearly explained in the Grail message. When a human spirit sheds this physical cloak, it moves on to the immediate beyond, the immediate surrounding of the earth, which is invisible to our physical eyes. But where a person has inordinately tied himself to material pursuits, he is prevented from turning his gaze upwards and prevented from continuing his journey upwards. And those material pursuits may be anything. It could be a preponderant propensity for something which can only be satisfied on earth. It could be that he has misled people in the way he has taught them, or in the way he has brought up his children. He has passed on to them false concepts and false ideas, false beliefs. Now, we know that there is this law of reciprocal action. Everything you do comes back to you, and you cannot move on until those threads are redeemed and cut off. So somebody who has misled people through his teachings, or misled his descendants through the way he has brought them up, so that they now hang on to earthly matters like he did, is prevented from moving on. And his gaze is therefore directed back to the earth, and he is tied to the earth. That's what earthbound means. He cannot move on. Now, how does he move on? First, he has to recognize where he has gone wrong. And as a guide, and then he asks for an opportunity to make amends. He asks the light, the Almighty, for an opportunity to make amends. And this gradually develops into a genuine volition to be of help to those that he has misled. And if that is genuine, then he's given the opportunity to become a guide, either to those he has misled or to others. It doesn't really matter. It's not personal at all. But he gets the opportunity to guide people from the wrong path, from the wrong beliefs, into that which is correct, from what he has now experienced in the beyond. So when he does that, he gradually gets the opportunity to redeem those threads of fate, and he's freed from them. When he's freed from them, he's now free to continue his ascent into the higher and lighter realms.
All right. Thank you so much, Mr. Kolapa Lawson. Mr. Fadaru, let me come back to you for some of the announcements.
Thank you, Femi. Very briefly, should you wish to ask or send questions, or if you have inquiries about the Grail message, please contact us at www.grailland.com. That is GRAILLAND.com, or You may reach us by telephone on 080-332-01244. I repeat that, 080-332-01244. Another number you may reach us on is 080-231-28538. I repeat, 080-231-28538. You can obtain copies of the work In the Light of Truth, The Grail Message, by contacting us on either of these numbers or via the website, which I've just announced.
Thank you, Mr. Fadero. Mr. Lawson, let me come back to you.
Thank you. We all know the command. In fact, these are the first words in the Bible. It says, "And God said, let there be light. And there was light." We're all familiar with this sentence. It is in Genesis. But how many people understand it? The word Genesis means the beginning or the origin. The fact that the Bible begins with Genesis is a pointer to the fact that unless we understand the beginning or the origin, we can understand nothing. And if we understand nothing, there can be no purpose or meaning to our lives. By light is not meant the light from the sun or from any star, or even the light we produce by electricity. All these are mere effects of the true light. Light, in the context of Genesis, is the same as life. That is, that which is living, which needs nothing to make it live, which has always existed. Such light, such life, is only in God. Everything else is a consequence, an effect brought about by the will of the light through a process of radiation. This includes us, human beings. It follows that if we wish to flourish, we must recognize that we exist only by the grace of the will of the eternal light, and we have a duty to recognize and comply with the purpose for which we have been brought into existence. We were brought into existence as part of the spiritual world. In that spiritual world, the beings there have a perfect recognition of the perfect will of the Creator and work to establish that will everywhere. Thus, figuratively, it is said that these spiritual beings who are conscious in the spiritual world worship God night and day without rest. By worship is meant that their every activity is done to the glory of the Creator, because they know and acknowledge that He is perfect. And therefore they strive with everything they do to reflect that perfection. As the last ramifications of spiritual substance, there are spiritual seed grains who cannot become conscious in the spiritual world and have to journey into the material part of creation. And very slowly, over a long period of time, gradually gain consciousness to attain the same level of recognition as those who could be immediately conscious in the spiritual world. And these spirit germs are us, you, me, whose task is to develop from being unconscious germs to fully conscious and mature human beings, human spirits, with the same degree of recognition of our origin and of our Creator as those who have never had to leave the spiritual world. Our task remains the same as that of the conscious spirits in the spiritual world, to help establish the perfect will of the Creator everywhere, even unto the ends of the earth. Thus, As the individual human spirit develops, his recognition of the greatness of the Creator gradually awakens, blossoms, and grows. He perceives the unimaginable love, but also recognizes the immutable justice, which is identical with the love. And eventually, he comes to a recognition that he too, as a spiritual creature, is an agent of the Creator, a bearer of the love, and strives in all naturalness to transform his environment into a replica of the spiritual realms of light, and to fulfill the vow, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." This is a vow which each human being, each individual, needs to make every day, so that he can transform his activity into that of pure gratitude to the Almighty. Next week, we shall conclude this presentation by examining in more detail the attributes of the two sexes, the role that each has to play in fulfilling God's will on earth, and the eventual destiny of the fully developed human spiritual that has gone through the mills of the final judgment to be able to build the new heaven and the new earth, as prophesied in the Revelation of John. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Kolapo Lawson, as we look forward to the concluding part of the discourse next week on the program. I also have to say a very big thank you to you, Mr. Tunji Fadairo, for being part of the program this morning. We still have other questions, but just to let you know that we will take those questions next week on the program. If you have further questions or need clarifications, you can send your concerns to these numbers, 0803-320-1244, 0803-320-1244, or 0802-312-8538, 0802-312-8538. The program returns next week, Saturday, 10:15 a.m. right, 89.7 FM. I am Funmi Omoburiwo. Good morning, and enjoy the rest of the weekend.